Hello, I'm Eric Corman, Communications Director at League of Education Voters. When Summit Public Schools opened its first Seattle school in the Chinatown International District, there were many applicants from South Seattle and West Seattle. Because of this demand, Summit applied and was approved to open a new school in West Seattle. Summit Atlas opened this fall, and Katie Bubalo is the Executive Director. Katie, what is your personal education journey?
So I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, with two public school teachers. My parents actually had both of my parents in high school for class. My dad was my basketball coach, and they're still working in that same district in Blue Springs, Missouri. Education's kind of in the family. I went to college, tried not to study education. I thought I wanted to be a communication director, maybe go into broadcast journalism, actually. I started volunteering as a basketball coach down the street my sophomore year, and noticed that there was a huge inequity between the campus I was attending school on and what the students at the high school down the street were receiving in terms of education. Mm. Specifically, my girls on my basketball team were constantly ineligible for games because their grades were so low. My basketball team was comprised of mostly students of color, several Native American students, Black, Hispanic. It was a super diverse, awesome school. And then I would talk to them about what was going on, and they were not getting the support that they needed in class. It was a great school with a lot of caring folks, and it just wasn't a school that was necessarily thinking through a lens of equity. Hmm. And so I thought about that. I switched my major to education, graduated with a degree in secondary education and history after doing my student teaching. And then I decided that I didn't feel prepared to enter the classroom yet and wanted to be prepared and wanted to know like what it would take to create a school through a lens of equity. So I joined Teach for America. I served 2 years in New Orleans during my time in the Corps, but then I just kind of fell in love with my students and the city of New Orleans and ended up staying in New Orleans and working as a teacher there for the next 5 years. So 7 years in New Orleans. By the end of that time, kind of had every position you can imagine in a school: culture dean, academic dean, literacy specialist, instructional coach, athletic director, started a basketball team, and then eventually moved out here to Seattle to be closer to my family and found Summit Public Schools along the way and decided to take the crazy adventure of opening a brand new school. And here we are, sitting in my office this morning.
And so we are. Yeah. Now, what would you say worked really well on your personal journey and what didn't?
Yeah, great question. I think I had a lot of really good people in my life who were extremely supportive. My parents have always taught me, they raised me to give back to other people. That's just who they are, and I think I've grown up wanting to be like them and essentially have followed their footsteps in an educational path. I think things that were hard, I don't think there's like a harder job than teaching. I think teaching is the hardest job anyone could ever have. I often teach classes here at Atlas because I think it's important to stay grounded in the classroom and to connect with kids in an academic setting. And it's still just the hardest job anyone could have. It's the most fun job, too. I think other things that were challenging was just it's always hard to leave behind people who have meant so much to you in one city and move to the next. And I owe so much of what I know about being an educator and so much of who I am to my students in New Orleans. But I also was super excited to transfer that knowledge and those skills to a new context and just feel super lucky to be in a community, White Center in West Seattle, that was really, really loving and accepting and supportive of our school and the work that we do. We just couldn't have done that without that community. So it's definitely a steep learning curve being new to the community, but it's been so great to just get to learn from so many community leaders and parents along the way.
While students are here at Summit Atlas, what do you think is the most important thing that they should learn or accomplish?
Yeah, so Summit Public Schools' broader mission is to prepare all students for college success and to become thoughtful contributing members of society. Here at Atlas, what we've kind of nailed that down to is to empower all students in a diverse community to succeed in college and to do good in the world. So college success and giving back to others, that's pretty much what it comes down to for us. So we are looking to make sure that every single one of our students, every single day, is being challenged and being supported to become college ready. Our end goal is very different. We're not just focusing on high school graduation. We're focusing on college graduation. And that doesn't just mean academics. That means social and emotional learning. Lots of those soft skills, organizational time management. There's a lot of stuff that goes into college success. And then we talk pretty openly and honestly and often with our kids about the reason why we want you to be able to succeed in college is not just for yourself and your security for your family, your financial security, your fulfillment in life to be able to do what you want, but also because we think you have a great opportunity when you do succeed to give back to other people. That is what we believe will create a better, more loving, accepting world.
How do you do that? Do you have one-on-one mentors? Do you have community service projects that you have the students do? Because building global awareness and community awareness, I would love to see that in my third grade son, for example.
Yeah.
Now, how do you make that reality?
Yeah, it takes a lot. And it's a journey, right? So we're super lucky that we have a sixth grade class right now, and we're going to get to be with them for 7 years, and ninth graders for 4 years. It's a lot of what you mentioned. Each student at our school has a mentor. They have a one-to-one check-in every single week. They're also part of a mentor community. We call them pods because we're the orcas. Mm-hmm. So every student has a pod. And then we view our whole school as like the larger pod community, right? And so some of it is like mentoring and setting goals academically each week, but also setting like social and emotional growth goals. We do a program called Circles, which is a great program that we've partnered with Valor Collegiate, it's a school in Tennessee, to kind of learn and grow in. And we really think that community circle is a format during which kids can feel safe to take risks to grow and challenge themselves with their interpersonal skills. And then community service is something we're getting ready to launch here in the coming days. As a new school, it's, you know, taken us a little while to get everything where we want it to be, but we do have some local partners we're going to be partnering up with and sending each pod every few weeks out into the community. One of those partners is the White Center Food Bank. Mm. They've just been super kind to us and have really connected us with the community. And they just do such great work. And it's a great opportunity for our kids to serve other people and to learn through that, like just how good that feels to be part of the human race and taking care of one another.
How do you teach students to be responsible for their own education, though?
Yes, that's the big challenge, right? So our whole vision is to create self-directed learners. I think the myth out there is that when you say personalized learning or self-directed, people are just picturing like kids staring at screens, not talking to teachers all day, right?
Yes.
So that like could not be further from the truth. We want students to become self-directed before they enter college because we know that's what it's going to take to succeed. That is a process, and that takes a lot of time, effort, and energy. It takes a lot of goal setting. We have what's called personalized learning time, and during that time, students are learning content independently or being pulled into small groups to get support from the teacher. But what they're also doing is learning how to calendar out a long-term project. Mm. They're learning how to take notes for different content areas. They're learning how they learn best. Do I need to do this with a partner? Do I need to get a teacher? Should I just focus independently? What should the priority be today when I have 3 projects due next week? So I had a student say to me the other day, I'm not used to having more than one thing due at a time. I'm used to turning something in, and then maybe in another class I get a project, and so it's easy to keep track of. We purposefully are not doing that. We are purposefully creating an environment where we can have the guardrails to let kids take risks and catch them when they fall and teach them, honestly, teach them how to fail in a way that is effective. Oh. Because they're going to run into that. And we'd rather they run into it here than how I did, which was to just totally get owned by my freshman college coursework. Yeah. I think that's a lot of what we do in the personalized setting is we're not saying you're going to come in self-directed. That's unrealistic.
Yep.
And your kids. And it's our job to not just teach content, but teach you how to become your own best teacher.
Yeah, and you've got quite a diverse group of students here. They come from different backgrounds. They have different upbringings, different ways of looking at the world. How do you keep everybody on track and focused? I mean, do you have a particular classroom management theory?
Yeah, great question. Classroom management is paramount to a school's success. We spend a lot of time in our teacher training over the summer talking about management. When I think about classroom management, I think a lot about relationships. A classroom that you walk into that you're just like, oh, I never want to leave this space. It's just so wonderful to be in here. That teacher is making a million decisions behind the scenes and in the moment to make that happen. So we do build a lot of strategic partnerships with our students and their families. We are constantly checking in with kids and their families and spending one-on-one time with them. Sometimes that's a 10-minute mentor check-in about academic goals. Sometimes we call it a love bomb, which is just teacher pulls me out of class and spends 10 or 15 minutes with me just getting to like hang out with me as a person, right? Other things they're doing in the classroom, we use a lot of least invasive techniques. What we mean by that is, what are all of the teacher things in my tool bag that I can do before I need to move to a consequence with a student? Mm-hmm. So for example, that could be positively narrating what you're seeing. That could be clear directions and expectations and checking for understanding so that students aren't confused. The general rule of thumb is every student wants to succeed. They'll definitely rise to that occasion if the criteria for that success is super clear and they know what they're supposed to do. Nobody's walking into class trying not to succeed. That's not how it works, right? Mm-hmm. They want to feel good about their progress. We do a ton of positive framing. We have a lot of conversations with kids talking about, hey, this is what I'm seeing right now. What would the impact of this behavior be your freshman year of college? Or how do you think it's impacting you right now? How do you think it's impacting your team? How might it impact you next week? Okay, great. Let's think about some choices and some things we can do that will move us in a better direction.
Do you ever have to use discipline methods?
Oh, of course. Yeah. We have restorative practices. And so what we believe is discipline issues are not handled via just like a punishment and then we move on, because they're ineffective. There's plenty of research out there about how, you know, suspension is not really an effective way to discipline kids. Not that there aren't times when that's going to have to happen for safety reasons, but we try to err on the side of repairing and restoring. How we do that, we have systems in place where students specifically take time to reflect on their behavior and how it's impacting themselves and the community. And then we work with kids independently, one-on-one, to make sure that they have a plan to repair that harm so that they don't feel like, okay, I messed up, I got suspended for 3 days, I came back, and then I was just like back in class magically. That's not a learning situation for us. What we want to do is talk to the student and their parent about what's going on, what's the root cause. Okay, here's what happened, here's who it impacted. Let's think about, if you were in their shoes, what would you want them to do to show you that they understood the harm and that you want to be part of the team and you're with the community? And then we help kids actually carry out that plan. And then they return to the community and they return to class. So it really is all about learning for us. We think about behavioral struggles just like we think about academic struggles. So for example, if a student in my math class wasn't understanding slope-intercept form, I wouldn't punish them for not understanding slope-intercept form because they didn't have that skill. I would teach them. If a student in my classroom is consistently calling out or responding disrespectfully, I need to teach them the skill they do not have and talk to them about what needs to happen moving forward so that they can successfully be a member of the community.
Are you seeing that that's getting results?
I think so. I feel really, really great about it. I think restorative practices take a lot of extra work. I'm not going to lie about that, because it's a lot more talking. It's a lot more time, energy, and effort when you could just slap a consequence on something and move on. We're actually taking the time to figure out what's going on and make plans to move forward. One of the greatest successes we've seen in the first month or two of school is several of our students who had communicated us via themselves or their families coming in, they, you know, had a hard time succeeding before, are now wildly successful. I think part of it is they are feeling like we're on their team, right? And I think that kind of speaks to the importance of school choice, right? There's so many different models that are good for so many different reasons and so many different students. Sometimes you're just gonna need something a little bit different. I also think there's a lot of power in being a first-year school because it's a fresh start for everyone. One of the first things we talk about on the very first day of school with our kids is you don't have to be who you were before, because literally no one knows you here. And that's a very rare moment in time. Like, some of us get that in college, maybe. And then after that, like, your resume follows you and things start to follow you, right? And people know you. And it truly is a unique experience for kids to be able to walk into a building and literally recreate who they are. And we say the same things to our students who have been wildly successful before. you were wildly successful. What path are you going to carve out for yourself here that's going to be different and awesome?
Do you find that by being a brand new school, that getting the teaching staff and the educators on the same mindset, do you think that was a real gift?
Huge gift. Feel extremely fortunate to work with 15 of the hardest working teachers I've ever met in my entire life. Constantly telling our kids, like, you've got the best teachers in the country here. They're literally going to do whatever it takes to help you succeed. They don't care how many conversations that you guys need to have. They don't care how many hours they're going to spend with you working through that particular content assessment you're struggling with. They're going to text your mom. They're going to hold you accountable. They're going to talk to you about how soccer is going. They're going to engage with you at lunch. So these are incredible people. And I think it is a truly unique opportunity to be able to build adult culture over the summer and have a completely brand new thing that we're creating. It really changes what you can do.
How do you think what you're doing here at Summit Atlas can influence and perhaps improve education for every student in Washington State?
Whew, that's an exciting statement and question, and also just a huge challenge, right? There's so much good work to be done. It really is equity work, right? We have so much work to do in our state. There are so many kids who are being served really well right now, and there are so many kids and families who feel left behind. And that is not just in our state, that's in our country. And I hope that what we can do as a school is be a proof point for what can happen when we push ourselves to be excellent educators, to push our students to become self-directed. I hope that we become a proof point for how to do personalized learning well. It's like a buzzword right now, but I think I'm not interested in being thrown into a buzzword bucket. I'm interested in results. I'm interested in making good on the promise we made to every single parent and family that they would have amazing college opportunities if they stayed here. I'm interested in making good on our promise to give back to others and to shape and support our students in becoming people who look to themselves to do good in the world. I think the thing about education is I think anybody who's really in education is in it for all those reasons too. I haven't met a single educator on any side of any political line or stance who doesn't feel the exact same way. They all want that. We all want that. I'm just really excited to be in a community that is pumped about like rallying behind that mission and to work with school leaders in our neighborhood and folks in community organizations who are rallying around that mission as well.
Katie Bubalo is Executive Director at Summit Atlas Public School. Katie, thank you so much for letting me drop in.
No, thank you.